Good morning. This is Pastor Jason preaching on Deuteronomy 24. These few days, we've been reading a lot of different rules and decrees. It's actually very difficult to memorize all of them because we have to find the connection between these rules. Why do we go from this verse to the next verse? So sometimes it's a bit tough reading through it. We still have to go to the root. When God's Spirit is running through everything, how would He respond? In chapter 24, and I'll give it a title, Mercy on the Weak, Mercy on the Minorities. So in this chapter, it's dealing with the issues of the minorities, people in a lesser position, because God is a merciful and a good God. A God who is so loving and merciful, how will He deal with people in a lesser position, people in minorities? So we have to be like God. To be like God, and when we come across these situations, what should we do? From verse 1 to verse 5, it talks about the wife. In the ancient days, in the marriage relationship, the woman, the wife, is in a lesser position, a less advantaged position. But in Hong Kong, the wife is very powerful. But in a very, very long time, in the olden ages, the wife was disadvantaged. So basically, women did not have much education. They did not need the education. In Chinese, it says, well, a woman with no education is actually a virtue. But when she loses her marriage, she loses her her source of income. She loses financial power. And she loses all sources of finances. So in a marriage, so the wife is actually less disadvantaged. So in verse 1 it says, if a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her from his house. In the scripture, the Pharisees used it because they used it against Jesus, to challenge Jesus. Moses said, we can write a certificate of divorce. What do you say? Can we do it? And Jesus clearly replied, actually, this certificate of divorce, God does not want people to divorce. His eternal will is that for people not to part in divorce. That's the best ending. But people cannot do it. So when we cannot do it, then someone will suffer. The wife will suffer. And when they lose their ability to work, they have no protection. Maybe there's another man who wants to marry her. And but this time, what should the ex-husband do? Then maybe the ex-husband feel, how can you do this? When they're about to get married, then once again, he'll declare his authority. So this divorced wife, she might be prevented from getting married again. And this can happen again and again. So how can we protect this woman? So Moses says, you have to give her a certificate of divorce. If you have to divorce her, then you have to give her a certificate. to prove that you have already divorced her, so that when she marries again, then you cannot destroy her marriage. So his ex-husband, then she can take out her certificate of divorce. So you've already divorced me, you cannot say anything anymore. So in this concept, it's not encouraging people to divorce. It's to protect the woman. Next, we talk about a special situation. When she marries again, and maybe she's divorced again. And maybe her ex-husband, or maybe her husband has died and she has become a widow. So God says, you can't marry her again. Why? Because it says, she has been defiled, so he cannot marry her again. From our perspective, it feels like, well, she's already single, why can't I marry her again? We can look at it from many different perspectives, but going back to the root of the problem, God wants people to be very serious when they give a certificate of divorce. You've divorced her. You don't have an opportunity anymore to marry her. So don't do it lightheartedly. This is one of the reasons. And whose wife is she? So sometimes she's with you and then someone else and then back to you. From God's perspective, it's actually very confused. He wants everything according to its kind. He wants things to be very clear. Like yesterday we talked about. Why is it that the donkey and the ox cannot plow the land together? Isn't it, whether it's a white cat or black cat, whatever cat can catch the mouse is a good cat, right? But no, God wants things to be very clear, not to mix things together. So God wants people to be very serious about the marriage. And then going even more to the root, actually, God has chosen Israel to be his wife. In God, marriage is eternal. There's no divorce. I love you and I'll live you to the end. And so the Israelites, they were immoral and they left him. And God could only do that. And they had a new covenant. But the Israelites, when they turn back, God will take them back again. From God's perspective, towards marriage, for him, his commitment is forever. Only one wife. And not like man, you have a divorce and then you marry and then you divorce again and just going back and forth. But God is not like that. Verse 5. If a man has recently married, he must not be sent to war or have any other duty laid on him. For 1 year he is to be free to stay at home and bring happiness to the wife he has married. So this verse is actually light for Pastor Johnny, because happiness of a wife is more important than security of a country. Because to have wars, it's to protect the country. If there's no country, there's no home. But God says, you must make your wife happy first. It's even more important than security of your country. And you cannot put any duty on him. The wife's happiness is more important than ministry. It's actually very correct to read the scripture in this way. But here, I feel God has something very special to a special concern. When this man has married and he goes to war, and maybe he might just die in the war. This wife, that immediately she becomes a widow. And God feels it's too cruel to the wife. And maybe she has a child, maybe she has no child. And this child just is born and becomes an orphan. So on one hand, is to make the wife happy. And on the other hand, he does not want there to be a marriage, and immediately the man dies in the war. And then the wife will become disadvantaged. And maybe for her whole life, maybe she cannot marry again. But God wants to prevent this. So this is God's concern. If there's an opportunity that she becomes a widow once she gets married, then don't do it. God has, his concern is very detailed. And verse 6, do not take a pair of millstones, not even the upper one, as a security for debt, because that would be taking a man's livelihood as security. So, it's a security. No matter whether it's the upper one, upper millstone, or the lower millstone, if you take the one upper or below, it's the same. You take one, then you can't use these millstones anymore. And then this person cannot make a living. They can't eat because they can't use the millstones for the rice. It's like taking their lives. This person owes you money, but you don't allow them to eat. That's taking his life. So, towards minorities or disadvantaged people, this is grace. And then it's talking about human trafficking. Whoever traffics humans, who kidnaps people, then should die. God detests this evil. When we read this scripture, we think about Joseph. He was sold by his brothers. In God's eyes, he detests this. Well, of course, then the law was not there at that time. But this action, if they do it, those brothers, their whole lives, they will have the sin against them. That is, to turn a person into a slave. That's a very heavy sin. Now, verse 8, leprous diseases. It talks about Miriam. If a person is leprous, then they're separated from society. And while they were in the wilderness, she had to be out of the camp. That she was separate from society. So she is actually disadvantaged. So what should we do? The main point is, don't be leprous. Don't become the leprous person. Don't be like Miriam. On one hand, we do not want to oppress the weak. And on the other hand, we should not slander our authority, even in home, even when we do it in secret, and we do it God is angry. So this is how we deal with minorities. Verse 10 to verse 13 about a neighbor who has a loan. This person borrows money from you. Now they need a pledge. God says, don't enter the home to take it. You can take it, but you can wait for the man to take it out to you. So don't be too forceful. You can't just take it. This is respect towards the disadvantaged community. 13, return his cloak to him by sunset. Because he's so poor that he only has his cloak left. And it gets cold when you sleep. So God says you have to return it to him. If you don't return to him, then God will be angry. Before we went to Jordan a while ago, so whether we go to Jordan or to Middle East, and we have this feeling, who wants to live here? It's so dry, it's so hot. It's actually not very suitable for people to live in. But one time, went to Jordan, and in the evening, and we went to a pastor's house. Actually, it's actually very cool in the evening. It's like it's autumn. And there was wind, and it was actually very pleasant. So it's not surprising that people will live here, because the evening is so cool and nice. But when it gets even deeper into the night, then it gets really cold. So it becomes really cold. If this person is so poor, he only has his cloak, and you take away his cloak, then that's a problem. After the sunset, you have to return it to him. And then, for the hired man is also disadvantaged. Whether it's hired man or is someone living in your alien living in your towns. Don't bully him. You have to give him his pay on the day. As an employer, we have many reasons. Well, we said that we'll just pay once a month. Or we just pay once a week. Like in Australia. So they pay weekly. But when you come across people who are especially poor, you have to pay him on the day because he has a need. And this is mercy. According to the rules, you have your rules. And you promised beforehand, and he knew that beforehand, but he really has a problem. So God says to pay him every day. Give him his wages on the day. Otherwise, he may cry to the Lord against you and you'll be guilty of sin. Actually, from an employer's perspective, I did not do you any wrong. Because we agreed that we will pay monthly. But he has need every day. When he asks, cries against God, it becomes that you will be guilty of sin. So as an employer, you have to be aware. Especially to delay wages. It makes God very angry. And verse 16, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for the fathers. Each is to die for his own sin. So each person has to be responsible for their own sins. And verse 17, Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. This is your attitude towards the disadvantaged. Because God says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. From God's perspective, it's like this. Man is created by Him. And the Lord is God. And He is merciful towards God, towards people. And God says, I have been merciful to you. How can you bully other people? You should be like me. I am merciful. I am full of grace. So you should not bully other people and people who are weak. And then you've also become slaves in Egypt. And you were slaves. And you were bullied. And I saved you. And now you're bullying other people. And then Lord's anger comes up. I have two children. When they were little, I realized the two of them, they are 3.5 years apart. I realized when the younger brother hits the older brother is rebellious. But they're so young. For a 3-year-old hitting a 6-year-old, how can he win? Or a 4-year-old against a 7-year-old is impossible. So you feel like it shouldn't be, but it's a bit funny. But what about the older brother hitting the younger brother? You see it, and your anger arouses. Immediately, the father manifests oppression. A rebellious person needs to be disciplined. And God will deal with it. But if you oppress people, even for me, I am so furious. It talks about towards disadvantaged people, weak people. And towards these people, if you treat them poorly, God sees it and His anger is aroused. And then that's the end of it for you. He sees you and He hates you. And He thinks, how will I deal with you? And this is what it's talking about here. When we're facing orphans and widows and people who are poor and people who are aliens, we have to be very aware. We need to have grace, mercy towards these people. Otherwise, press a button and then God is so angry. And then when you're harvesting in your field, and then when you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Leave it for the poor. And this is also grace and mercy towards the disadvantaged. From God's perspective, all of it belongs to God. Man cannot allow plants to come up. Man cannot make fruits to be produced. But God just gives it generously. This is from God's perspective. But now, people are saying, this is mine. This vineyard has to be harvested very cleanly. And the orphans and the widows, I'll not give it to you. How does God see it? And then God will say, this is too much. I've given it to everyone. How can you see it? This person's suffering. And then you clean your harvest so cleanly that they have nothing left for them. Now God's anger will be aroused once again. And then God will start to remind you, well, you were in such a poor state in Egypt. When people wanted you to die, you would die. When people told you to make bricks without the straw, you still had to produce the bricks. And I saved you. But now, when you see the orphans, but you harvest so cleanly that you leave nothing for them, then you can see when God's Spirit is among the harvest time. It's reminding people, you have to leave some for the orphans and the widows. And towards Hong Kong, not many people are farmers. But God's Spirit is still among everything. And when we come across brothers and sisters who are in great difficulty in their finances, what we can do is actually very limited. But we can treat them to a meal. It's just another pair of chopsticks in another bowl. It's like in the field, there's a corner where we haven't completely gleaned it. So this remainder of the produce is for you. When you see your brother, well, actually, it's like he's having a fast, but he's actually just doesn't have money for food. Then you can treat him to a meal. And this is having grace to people who are disadvantaged, people who are poor. These few days as I'm reading, I'm not sure if you realize God, he's actually very detailed. So he has his opinion about everything, and he's talking about all of these issues. You have to do it like this, or you cannot do it like this, or you should do this and this. And he keeps on repeating these things to bring it up. If you didn't read it in detail, you feel like this God is troublesome God. He has so many requirements. Oh, it's just like he's mumbling. But when you read it in detail, you feel this God is very detailed, very precise. He is in the details. Just little bit by bit to teach you how you should deal with people, how you should deal with situations. And towards the poor, what you should do. And marriage problems, what you should do. And now you have to go to war, what should you do? There's all different kinds of situations. Actually, it's God's Spirit is manifesting in all these situations and how he would treat these situations. We have to ask God to help us in all ways that we will be like him. You think about how would God do it? And there's lots of different examples here. Actually, we have to do it like this. Actually, there's slaves coming. You have to protect them. You need a parapet on your roof so that people would not be harmed. It's all different kinds of situations. God is teaching us how to deal with every situation, and may God help us. In today's scripture, we can see we have to be person who's merciful towards people in a disadvantaged position. Let's praise the Lord.